Now, isn't it fun to worship at Cornerstone? Yeah. Get you in touch with God and His presence here makes you begin thinking about things, particularly when we send those spirits away before we do it. Oh, powerful. Now, Martha, what's that sign you've got to say you don't have to worry about tomorrow because, did you hear her? God is already there. You don't have to worry about tomorrow because God is already there. As I preach to you, keep that in mind. It fits right in. Now, you ready? The Law of Moses, the section known as the Decalogue, otherwise known as the Ten Commandments. That section of Scripture, which is binding on every Jew and every Christian, says, "You shall not murder." It's like really simple. Don't do it. You shall not murder. Now, for those of us who are Christians, Jesus makes it a little, Jesus makes it a lot harder. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not murder." That's what the law says. Jesus said, "Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment, but I tell you." Now, it's the "I tell you" part that gets touchy here, because now we are being addressed by the highest authority that ever walked on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, our Savior. And He says, "Anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." See, He went on in that very same passage of Scripture to say that if you say raka, okay, now we go into raka. Hey, you know when the Italians go, okay, you they do that to you, you know what it means, right? Okay. In modern sign language, it probably has to do with the center finger on one hand. Okay? All right? What Jesus is saying is if you do that to your brother, you should be hauled before the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. And if you call your brother a fool, now he may be a fool, but if you call him a fool, you are in danger of being sent to hell. But despite the law of Moses, and despite the teaching of Jesus, in the text set before you today, the passage of Scripture that Peter just read to you, 40 devout Jews have taken a vow to kill, that is, to murder the Apostle Paul. They bound themselves on oath not to eat or drink until they had killed him. And then they went to the chief priest and the elders of the nation of Israel, the most religious men in this nation of Israel, and they told them that their intention was to kill Paul. Now, I just want to tell you, if you come and tell me you intend to kill somebody, I'm not going to, you're going to hear a big, fat, loud no. Okay, so they go and tell the most religious people in their nation that their intention is to kill Paul. They ask those religious men to get the Sanhedrin, Israel's highest court, to pretend that they want to speak to Paul so that the Roman commanders holding Paul for Paul's own protection would send Paul to him. They promised the high priest and the elders of the nation of Israel that they would kill Paul on his way to the meeting. And the religious leaders of Israel said, "Good plan." Over 100 devout Jewish men had conspired together to murder. Now, just in case you have any question in your mind, let me just declare it once and for all. It was entire, completely, and without any discussion, wrong. When religious people conspire to break with the word of the Lord, Even if it seems right to them to do so, it is always wrong. We are bound by the word of the Lord. It was wrong. But you ready now? Paul was held in the hands of God. The powers of hell, those evil spirits that we addressed a few moments ago in prayer, the powers of hell cannot alter the plan of God. Evil men, even good men who are pretending to be evil, cannot prevail. So it happened that Paul's nephew heard what was afoot. So he went to visit Uncle Paul, and he told Paul what he had heard. And so Paul took him to the commander of the Roman forces who held Paul, and Paul's nephew told the commander what he had heard. And the commander said, "Don't worry. Say nothing to anyone. Just leave it to me." Martha's little sign. Don't worry about it. God's already there. Now, you ready? Here come the lessons. Lesson number one, it is wrong to violate the word of the Lord. If the Bible says it, don't do anything but what it says. It is wrong to violate the word of the Lord. Lesson number two, if you are tempted to violate the word of the Lord, even if your pastor is telling you to violate the word of the Lord, do not do it. Don't. Lesson number three, if devout people encourage you to violate the word of the Lord, do not. You getting this? Do not violate the word of the Lord for any reason. Do not do it. For we are bound by the word of the Lord. And the last lesson for today, don't worry about tomorrow. God is already there. He's got it under control, folks. All the evil forces of hell cannot